I invite you to hear now from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. I invite you to put this image in your mind just for a moment. Imagine this man who had everything. Things were going his way. He was educated. He was respected by those that he thought were important. And he was in the position that he desired to be in. He was wise, but the catch here is there was still something that ate away at him. Saul was trying to be the best for God and his service, or at least the way he understood God. But somewhere along the way, he had been conformed to the world. He had been sucked up by its emphasis on power and on individual accomplishment. What Saul wanted was recognition of who he was, of what he had done, and he wanted to be known as a person with a high spiritual status. So he asked basically for a list of who it is that might still be following Jesus, because that didn't go in cohorts with what he understood about God. So he went on that journey down that Damascus road, that road to Damascus, to seek those out that did not believe in God in the same manner as he. And imagine this just for a moment. How surprised Saul must have been when that brilliant flash of light from the heaven was suddenly there. It was so intense that it brought him to the ground and it caused him to be blind. Though his eyes were open, he could not see. As he lay in the dirt of that road, I invite you now to hear that low, rumbling voice that came from heaven above. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me?" In his uncertainty, Saul answered back, and I can only imagine it was a trembling voice, if you will. Who are you, Lord?" What must have been going through his mind, through Saul's mind? He was being confronted by the God, the living God, but God was saying that he was persecuting him. In his mind, he's probably saying, "Oh no, what have I done wrong? Where did I take this wrong turn? Could it be, could this be the Jesus that I have spoken against? and refuse to be obedient to? Imagine his thoughts. He had killed many who had followed Jesus because they spoke against his faith and what he believed God to be. What have I done? The voice then spoke again, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And suddenly Saul's worst fear came into reality at this point. You see, the people that he had killed in the name of God were in fact God's people. We can only imagine what he thought at this point. He just waited for that punishment. Waited to be struck down. How long was he going to be blind? But those things he waited on did not come. He laid there in anticipation, almost waiting to be hit or to be shaken back into reality, but none of that came. But then he heard the voice again as Jesus commanded him to go into the city, and there he would be told what to do. Even though Saul had persecuted Christians, all he found was love when he was confronted by Jesus Christ. Even though he did not know Jesus, and he actively worked against Jesus, and actively did things his own way, all that he found when he was confronted by Jesus was love. What we witness here, friends, is the conversion of Saul. Saul, a persecutor of Christians, murderer of Christians, he was converted to the Apostle Paul, arguably one of the greatest disciples of all. In that moment, on that road to Damascus, Saul learned the truth in God's love. And even though he did not earn anything, he was not punished, but rather given an invitation to come into the body of Christ. Instead of death, he was offered life because Jesus loved him. No matter what, Jesus loved him, even though Saul didn't know him. Jesus loved him despite who he was, despite who he'd become, and despite what he represented. Jesus still loved him. And no matter how different he was, Jesus Christ still loved him. Christ didn't come to punish him, nor does he come to punish us. But what he does offer is a more clear spiritual vision of the truth. The relationship that we have with God begins with his love for us. I'll say that again. The relationship that we have with God begins with his love for us. And through the giving of Jesus Christ, we experience forgiveness and a hope. Not because of our own works, but rather because of our mighty God's great grace and his great mercy. Brothers and sisters, I would ask you this today. Where have we become spiritually blinded? Because of something of this world? Or of the decisions that we have made? Where are the blind in the communities, in our community, that need to see? Where are there that people walk with their eyes open, but they do not see? With this blindness, this blindness that's in our midst may have been caused by the lure of alcohol, the lure of drugs, while others may have been drawn into the sin of adultery. Perhaps some have resorted to violence as a way of life, putting love aside. the spoils or the rewards of this world may have become the problem in terms of fame and fortune and belongings. And those things may be more tangible for us to see than what lies ahead in a spiritual sense. It's easier to see a big paycheck or a nice car or going on multiple extravagant vacations than it is to receive that reward that we have in heaven and that forgiveness that has already been made possible for us. Therefore, we're blinded by that difference. Maybe we've questioned in our own hearts what it would be like if we faced Jesus. And I'll venture to say that as we sit here today, we do consider ourselves unworthy of His grace. And we wonder what that day would be like. But you're reminded it's not all about what you've done. It's because God loves us. He sent a Son. Perhaps we felt guilt because we didn't think or do not think that we're doing enough. But what we know is this. Many people in our community, people in our families, people in our church, and perhaps even you, walk this tight rope in life with questionable balance. What we must offer as a body of Christ is an understanding of God as we know Him. And that way, brothers and sisters, is offering Jesus Christ as the truth and as the way. The one who comes to love, not to persecute. The one who comes to invite us into closer communion and to invite us to live that changed life. No person should experience barriers in coming to Christ. All people should feel welcome regardless of who they are, what they have, or what they've done. No matter what their past is, no sin is too great, no fall is too far, no doubt is too big, because our God is bigger than all of that. Our God is bigger than anything that we have done or anything we will face in this world. No problem is beyond the scope of our mighty God who cures our spiritual blindness. Think about it. God can take a prideful, murdering persecutor of Christians and convert him into the greatest disciple of all. If He can do that, then what can He do in your life? Or what can He do in the life of someone you know if we say to Him that we simply want to see? As the church and as Christians, we must connect our Savior, Jesus Christ, to the brokenness and the darkness in the lives of those who have been blinded, those with their eyes that are open but still do not see. On this day in which we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord on the mountaintop before His disciples, let us too be transfigured and changed into something new, with hearts to see more clearly the love of our mighty Savior. Amen.